Howdy, folks.
Good morning.
That's what Nick's voicemail sounds like.
It's true.
It's true.
Except it doesn't say good morning, because that would be really terrible if somebody called you at nighttime. They'd be so confused. So this is Big Planet Comics podcast number 35.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, whoa.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Is it a lot of podcasts?
No. I thought it was until I started poking around online and saw some other people. They've got like episode 372.
But those guys have been around since they used to host their podcasts
since 2008.
On Prodigy.
MySpace.
2008. That's a long time ago.
Yep.
All right. So my name's Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
And we're here.
Yeah, hello. We're present.
Present. All right. Let's do roll call. Nick.
No, I'm kind of here.
Oh, okay. Well, there's never mind then. All right. So this is Big Planet Comics podcast. Like I said just a minute ago. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can check this podcast out on Facebook or check. It says here, check out our Facebook.
You can do that too.
So do it.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out, you guys. That's at facebook.com/BigPlanetComics.
Conveniently named.
You can tweet us or we'll tweet at you at BigPlanetComics.
Yep.
.com. That's not true.
Tell me more.
Also, we have a webpage.
We do?
Yep, BigPlanetComics.com.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yep, I made up that name.
It's wacky.
It's good. All right, so I guess we're always talking about these upcoming signings and stuff like that.
Got a few new ones.
Do we have new ones?
No.
No, we don't have new ones. But this Saturday, March 3rd, we got our big barbecue at the Vienna store from 12 to 3.
We need burgers.
Don't come. There's too many people coming already, so do not come unless you want to. And then March 11th, we got Dan Peraro at U Street. There's also a bunch of other stuff, but...
we'll announce those as they get closer.
Yeah, just go on our webpage.
Yep.
All right, so how's it going, guys?
Good.
Excellent.
Oh, wow. What's going on?
I don't know.
Oh.
Just feeling excellent.
That's pretty exciting.
In general. It's all this ambient.
Yeah? You been up to anything exciting?
No.
No?
Never.
All right, you guys are really high energy tonight. I'm liking this.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Nick.
I'm excited. I'm going to a screening of John Carter tomorrow.
What?
That'd be sweet.
That is exciting.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that John Carpenter's John Carter?
Yes.
That would be amazing.
With music by the Carpenters.
Is that starring Helena Bonham Carter's husband?
Mm-hmm. It's Ghost of Mars 2, John Carter of Mars.
That would be good. Ghost of Mars is a good movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, right?
I finally saw it. It is not a good movie.
Wait, which one's good? Is that the one with Val Kilmer?
No, that's the one with Ice Cube.
Oh, am I thinking of Red Planet?
Yeah.
That's a good movie,
Mission
too.
Mars.
That one's pretty good.
Red Planet and Ghost of Mars were like the, you know, Volcano and Dante's Peak.
No, you're getting Red Planet and Mission to Mars.
Yeah.
Ghost of Mars is where Ice Cube is some mercenary on Mars and all the dead Martians are coming back as ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
What is Mission to Mars?
That was the other Red Planet.
David Carradine was in that.
But yeah.
No. Wait, is that... Did those all come out at the same time?
Roughly.
Because
there's also like Deep Impact and Armageddon.
Yeah, it was the Deep Impact, Armageddon. It was Red Planet, Mission to Mars combo.
Volcano, Dante's Peak.
No, Dante's Peak was great.
Valentine's Day. And New Year's.
And President's Day, the romancing.
Yep, indeed. All quality movies.
Yeah. Hollywood's full of ideas, folks.
When I think John Carpenter, I think post-1995.
I was like, Assault on Precinct 13.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
So good.
Yeah. So what about you, Jared? What are you up to?
I went to my friend Kelly's wedding, which was awesome.
That's cool.
That was good. She got married in her living room. I'm like, this is civilized.
That's cool. It would have been more convenient for you if she got married in your living room.
That's true. But, oh well. And then we had delicious food.
That's cool. Good. I played the King Kong video game, the adaptation of the film King Kong.
Nice.
I like to just hang out and play like 6-year-old video games.
The new one or
it's
the old
It's a really
King
good
Kong?
Game.
Yeah, it's the video game adaptation of the old King Kong. It came out. I played in the Nickelodeon.
That'd be amazing.
No, it was of the new one, but it was actually, it's a good game.
It's awesome.
You wouldn't think it would be.
I was about to say, like the movie?
Yeah, but it's, the movie's not so good.
No.
Nick loves it.
I love it.
Really?
Of course I do.
He said he wished it was longer.
Yeah.
It had more fighting giant spiders.
Mm-mm, I watched the extended edition. It's pretty sweet.
Did it have more ice skating?
No.
Oh.
They had more dinosaurs in it.
Oh, that's
well, that's always good.
Yeah,
anything's better with more dinosaurs.
It's true.
Yeah, that's so cool. I guess that's what we've been up to, right?
That's
living it.
Yeah, so there weren't a lot of comics this week. It's the curse of the fifth Wednesday of the month.
Yeah, it's a weird schedule for comics to try and be monthly as a by month rather than by every 4 weeks monthly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, especially DC Comics, they're well, kind of really on schedule with everything except for Justice League. Yeah, so so their fifth week, nothing comes out. But Justice League number
Justice
six
Justice League.
Out. Yeah, because
which only
late.
Comes out on the fifth week of a month. That's yeah, the only yeah. time it'll ship.
Yeah, so I don't know. We might skip the fifth week as like a new rule for podcast vacations.
Maybe. We will definitely look at the shipment for that week, and if it's as small as this one, yeah.
No, we're going to skip it. I already decided.
No.
Jared loves to do this podcast too much for me.
That's true.
It's like an hour of misery every week.
Hour? Jeez, I hope we get out of here in an hour.
I'm crying on the outside right now.
Let's get this over with.
You should see my insides. They're a mess. All right, so let's do some news. Somehow I deleted all my
your news?
Sound effects from last week.
That is some news, all right.
So
Kevin had another technical error.
News item number one. Oh, wait, let me look at this and make sure it's recording. All right, we're good to go. All Woo! Right, there Nick, go. Nick, why don't you give me a news theme song? Well, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Just like our Doppler radar.
Yeah.
Doppler. Let's go over to storm lightning.
We had Doppler 10,000.
All right, so a couple things. Well, I don't know. Jared, did you watch this Avengers trailer?
No.
All right. Well, Nick.
The new one? God.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was new.
Nick, how about the Avengers trailer?
It was so good.
It was really good.
The one that like just got put out today?
Yeah. Oh,
crap. I thought it was like the old one.
No.
There's a scene of Iron Man falling through the sky.
But he can fly.
Being caught by Hulk.
Oh.
And Hulk carries him to safety.
Is it romantic?
It's like the end of Lord of the Rings. yeah, no, it looks incredible. I don't feel like we geek out a lot on stuff like that on the show, but... I was getting pretty geeky when I was watching it.
I am tapping my toes right now in anticipation of this film.
You get to see Iron Man kick Thor through a tree. It was pretty sweet.
Wait a minute. They're fighting each other?
Of course they are.
Aww.
It's a team-up move.
That's true.
You know, it follows the golden rule of team-ups in comics, right? Where it's like
fight
we
each other
fight and
over
then we're
a misunderstanding.
Like, and then we're like, why are we fighting? We should fight Darkseid.
Or wait, Darkseid is in this movie?
We should fight Oberon.
Thanos.
Is Thanos in this movie?
I hope so.
Oh, that'd be a good setup. Did they have something with the Infinity Gauntlet or the gems or something?
Yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet showed up in Thor, in Odin's trophy room.
There you go.
There's going to be a lot of Cosmic Cube in this movie.
I think so.
They're going to be gleaming the Cosmic Cube.
Dang, you got gleaming there before me.
All right, so I don't know if that was really news, but I just wanted to mention
it's
that it was out
that
there.
It's out.
You guys should watch it. I'm excited that this is Joss Whedon.
Me too.
Because the action from the trailer looks really good. And then I have faith that the dialogue is going to be pretty funny and all the character relationships will be, you know, good stuff.
Pretty awesome.
Because he wrote it.
He did
not
write
just
it.
Directing it. So that's
he did write it. He also wrote.
Good.
He wrote. I mean, this is the guy that wrote Speed, people.
Yep. He did?
He wrote Speed, yeah.
Did he write anything to do with the Toy Story movies?
He did.
Sold he twice
did,
over.
He did punch ups on Toy Story 1.
Nice. Wow. Nice.
Indeed. And then he also wrote.
Did he write for Roseanne?
He did write for Roseanne.
Oh, wow.
Great
I'm totally in.
Ever.
He did not write for the last season of Roseanne, so that's promising.
That's good.
The last season of Roseanne is not good stuff, if you guys remember it.
Nope. Still better than most shows on right now.
You think the last season of Roseanne, where she's writing a fake book, and then it ends up that everything is fake?
It's still better than Two and a Half Men.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yep.
And Big Bang Theory. God, that show sucks.
So I watch it and I just don't know why.
It's terrible.
I watch it and I just shake my head.
It's really
the
awful.
Whole time. Yeah. Anyway, so that's not all of our news though.
Oh,
there's one other thing.
Oh,
so this group 1 Million Moms. You guys know these people?
No,
they're like a bunch of moms.
have they marched?
Depends on who you
they
ask.
Did. I can't remember what what was the thing they protested like a couple weeks ago.
Don't know.
It was
Grand Theft Auto.
JCPenney. Basically, this is a group that was
JCPenney.
They were protesting JCPenney because JCPenney had chosen Ellen DeGeneres as their spokeswoman.
Oh Lord!
And so the one
she's Canadian.
Indeed, is she Canadian? Is DeGeneres a Canadian name?
I doubt it.
Is there any such thing as a Canadian name?
Hoser.
Yeah, I know this guy is Jacques Maple Syrup, and he's
Jacques McCoser.
Yeah, so they were protesting JCPenney, and JCPenney was like, "Whatever, just leave us alone." They were like, "We're going to keep Ellen DeGeneres. You guys can just go back to being moms or whatever."
It's like an egg.
So now the 1 million moms are threatening to boycott Toys R Us over Archie Comics' gay wedding issue with Kevin Keller.
Oh,
so well, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I think in the Married Life Archie thing.
Yep.
Kevin Keller is also getting married to his boyfriend or fiance that is in the military.
Nice. Yep.
And so the 1 million moms are all up in arms. And, you know, it's dumb. But anyway, the best thing about this story is the quote from Archie Comics CEO Jan Goldwater. So I just really wanted to read this because I think this is amazing.
It is great.
She says, "As I've said before, Riverdale is a safe, welcoming place that does not judge anyone." Sorry, that's John Goldwater. He's a guy. "It's an idealized version of America that will hopefully become reality someday. We're sorry the American Family Association /1millionmoms.com feels so negatively about our product, but they have every right to their opinion, just like we have the right to stand by ours. Kevin Keller will forever be a part of Riverdale, and he will live a happy long life free of prejudice, hate, and narrow-minded people."
Nice. Nice.
Are they throwing Reggie out of Riverdale?
No, even people love Reggie there.
That's true.
Yeah, I just thought that was awesome.
That is amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
If more like corporate entities had those responses to stuff, it'd be a better world.
Yeah, well, I find this heartening that they do, and that JCPenney's was also like, hey, you know, don't hate gay people, don't be stupid.
Yeah,
that would be a good way to go.
Yeah, this is. We'll cover this more on our Big Planet Comics political podcast that we do every Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
on NPR.
Yeah, on NPR, right before the Splendid Table. All right, so yeah, that was our news.
That's some good news.
Yeah, you wanna song us out, Nick? I gotta get that one. If you guys want that song, it's on iTunes.
I've been hanging out on the docks a lot.
Have you? So all you just listen to the dulcet tones of tugboats,
the foghorns.
Indeed. All right, so that was all of our news. Anybody want to give me some viewer mail music?
Jared.
Jared's
been hanging on the train tracks.
Jared is hanging. Jared is, in case you didn't know, his Christian name is Boxcar Jared.
I prefer Choo Choo.
He is a hobo. You prefer Choo Choo Jared?
Yep.
He walked in here tonight. He had a he had like a broomstick with a handkerchief on it, full of cans of beans.
If only I could afford a can opener, I'd be set.
Yeah, well, one of these days, you know, the recession is ending, from what I understand.
It's American dream.
All right, so we've got quite a few viewer mail questions this week.
Hit me up.
The first one is from Matthew McCary. This one was from last week, which we didn't get a chance to cover, or we did, but I don't want to go into all that.
I don't either.
But anyway, so Matthew says, this one may take some research, so read it ahead of time. Well, we read it last week, so we've had a little bit of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you have $100. You must spend it on comics in any form.
Boo.
Search the store and get your best bang for your bucks in terms of greatest quality and quantity.
Okay. This is complicated.
Ecstatics Omnibus.
Oof.
Done.
Yeah, that's Nick's answer.
Was it $99.99?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, whatever. You get an employee discount, that'll fit.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, tax would put you over.
Yeah. Sure. Well, tell people about Ecstatics Omnibus if they want to know.
Well, we've talked about it before, but Ecstatics... it was X-Force at first, and it was a drastic change in Marvel's I don't even know how to explain
direction
it.
Like, tell people what the story is.
The whole universe is different. Basically, it's about a team of mutants that are kind of celebrities, and they have action figures made of them, and they all have huge egos, and
a lot of them die.
They die.
It is very soap opera, modern pop culture, reality TV.
Yeah, it was Marvel kind of predicting the whole reality TV gone wrong thing in a superhero way. They kind of explored it again a little bit later with the New Warriors reality TV show miniseries, which ended up being the impetus for Civil War. yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's, you know, that's a lot of stuff. And it covers a good amount of ground because it's
1,200 pages of comics or something.
And it's a superhero thing, but it's got that indie comic sensibility that we love so much.
Yeah,
it's true. I got some other ones. The 8-volume-in-1 Walking Dead compendium. It's what, $50 or $40?
I think it's $60.
$60?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. $60. But that's an amazing amount of stuff. You've also got, it's also $60 or $70 for the Invincible compendium.
You got $100.
I'm just saying.
Don't just say. You got $100.
All right. I'm doing Walking Dead. So that's $60. Oh, man, this is tricky. You got Cerebus Volume 2, High Society.
It's $35. You got $5 left.
And I'd buy 5 copies of Spaceman Number 1.
Nice.
Which is a dollar.
Yep. To give to your friends?
Nice. No, just because it's awesome. I want to read it over until it falls apart.
You're going to read it 5 at a time?
All right, so for me, it is Essential Fantastic Four Volume 3, which is $20, but it covers the first appearance of Galactus, first Black Panther, first Silver Surfer, This Man, This Monster. It's all the best Fantastic Four stuff, in my opinion.
Kirby-tastic.
It is Kirby-tastic. Mm-hmm. And then I would go for, there are four books that Vertigo put out that are all number one issues, and it's basically like the number one of issue of every series they've done.
Yes.
And there are four of those, and those are $5 a piece.
And some of them have like six or seven issues in them.
Yeah, so that's another $20.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's taking me a while to get here. I'm to $40 now.
You're working it.
What else? And then I'll go with
Bone.
Yeah, the Bone one volume edition.
Yeah.
So that gets me to $80, right?
That's the entire Bone series in one volume.
Yep, because that's $40. And then with the remaining $20, she's just throwing something in there that I like a lot.
20 copies of Spaceman.
Drifting Life by Yoshihiro Tatsumi. That is a $20 book, I'm pretty sure.
That's amazing for $20.
Yeah, so that's an 800-page
autobiographical
book about growing up in Japan in the 20th century and inventing
alternative comics.
Alternative
in
comics in Japan, yeah, and it's really great.
Yeah.
So that should $100, you could go
well spent
any of these three ways.
Choices, but yeah, those are all pretty good.
You're gonna get some good stuff. Lots of pages.
Yeah.
Mine, lots of black and white.
Yeah. But a lot of these are purposely black and white. So.
Indeed. All right. So thank you for your question, Matthew. And so moving on, we've got a question from Christian Tribbistone, not Tristabone, as I like to call him.
Wait, who's this new guy?
He says, if you had to spend the next year wearing the same superhero character's costume every day, whose outfit would you pick?
Wait, what?
If you had to spend the next year wearing the same superhero character's costume every day, whose outfit would you pick?
Do we get to wash it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say anything about not washing it.
Just checking.
But the floor is open to questions if you guys have...
Luke Cage's.
Which Luke Cage outfit?
The one with the tiara.
Of course.
Well, it's got an open shirt.
And the yellow open shirt. That's very styling.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Your chest can breathe with the yellow shirt, you know? And
yeah.
You got a thing to hold your hair in place.
And flares.
Yep.
They're bound to come back within the next year.
He's also got a chain for a belt.
If Nick and Luke Cage are wearing it, it's coming back.
Yeah. You wouldn't really be able to hang out with Luke Cage because be embarrassing.
Like, why are you wearing my outfit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. So, Luke Cage, would you wear... Now, here's the real question, Nick. Would you wear a fake afro?
No. I would grow a real
afro. You would grow a real afro. That was the answer that I was hoping for.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Jared?
Well, you could cheat and get the new Fantastic Four Unstable Molecules costume. Which you just concentrate and make look something different.
Cheating is acceptable.
Oh, that's pretty styling.
Make it look like your regular clothes?
No, I just switch between all the different outfits superheroes wear to confuse people.
Well, then you should just wear superhero outfits anyway, since you were like you're cheating, but you still want to wear superhero outfits.
That's it. I could only wear one outfit a year, so
that's true.
Technically, I'm following the rules.
I forgot my original outfit.
Oh no,
Venom costume.
Oh right,
symbiote. Because you kind of turn it into whatever you want.
I think, but Jared said Unstable Molecules. It's like the same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what reminds
me. Not associated with a mass murdering monster like Nick.
I would wear the Scarlet Spider costume.
Nice.
Because I like to wear tights with like a sweatshirt over it, like Jennifer Beals in Flashdance.
Nice.
Or I will say, if Jennifer Beals from Flashdance is considered a superhero, I would like to wear her outfit that she wears in Flashdance.
She's my hero.
All right, so there's a second bonus question here.
Yeah. Oh,
if you got to pick costumes for the other two guys, what would you make them wear?
Wow. I would make Kevin dress like Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck doesn't wear pants, does he?
Nope.
I'm down with that.
just wearing a jacket.
He just wears like a Hawaiian shirt, doesn't he?
And a cigar, right?
But yeah, you'd always have to have a cigar.
Yeah, I don't think cigars are clothes.
It's part of your costume.
Part of your costume.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. And what would you make Nick wear?
Oh, that's a tough one. Come back to me. I'm thinking. Well, good one for Nick is, that's a tough one. Are there any Greek superheroes?
Hercules?
Oh, the Hercules outfit from, like, again, open chest.
I'll take
very
it.
Popular.
And like a little battle kilt.
No underwear.
Yeah.
I'll take
that's
it.
Pretty awesome, actually.
I would make Jared wear the Luke Cage costume and Nick wear the Unstable Molecule so you guys would fight each other because you would be wearing each other's costumes.
Nice.
I don't think I'd fight. I'd be like, yeah, look what I stole from Nick.
Well, then I would just give you guys, like, knives or something and have you fight each other. Is there a guy who just has knives?
Probably.
Wolverine.
Like you would be like Thug number one and Thug number two.
Yeah. Oh, no. Who's the guy who's Turk? The guy who's always getting beat up by Daredevil? The snitch who's always like his
informant. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's probably got a knife. I don't think he can afford a gun.
He's like the Daredevil equivalent of Bubbles from The Wire.
Yep.
Speaking of Daredevil, I'd make Jared dress like D-Man.
Oh.
And I would make Kevin dress.
A lot of people don't know what D-Man wears. Can you explain?
He kind of wears a costume like somewhere between Daredevil and Wolverine.
Yeah, he's like, but he's smelly and homeless. But like a homeless man. Yeah. Yeah.
But is that the costume or his lifestyle? Would I have to like...
If the cigar is the costume, then being homeless is part of the costume.
Smelling bad. Yeah.
All right. The name of this podcast is Big Planet Comics Podcast number 35, Being Homeless is Part of the Costume.
And Kevin will be dressed like Namor.
Oh.
I'm down with that. Can I do a combination of Namor and Howard the Duck? Like, my top half will be what Namor wears, and my bottom half will be what Howard the Duck wears.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
There we go. I'm good.
As long as you put wings on your feet, that's all I care
about.
It'll
be like every day is my birthday.
No, I think that'll be everyone's birthday.
It'll be. It will
all get a present.
Everyone's birthday. But I'll still have wings on my feet.
Yeah. Yep.
If that's okay. Is that allowed?
I think it's required.
All right. Well, thanks for the question, Christian.
Yeah, thanks.
He says all my love.
Aw.
Which is sweet.
Sweet. We're building up the love of the fans.
I'll give him some of my love, but not all of it.
No.
I got to save that for once I start wearing this outfit. All right. So our next question is from Sam Marks.
What up, Sam?
Is this a first-time question asker?
I think so.
Is it Marks or the next?
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, like Richard Marks.
Nice.
Karl Marx.
Oh, God. Richard Marx.
The Marx Brothers.
Isn't it sad that the first one I go to is Richard Marx? Not Karl Marx. Yeah. Anyway, so Sam says, hey, guys.
Hey.
That's us. Hey.
Hey.
No, that's it. That's all he has. No, he says, cool. Love the podcast. It's always a good start.
That was a good start.
He says, I've read through the Judge Dredd Complete Case Files books 1-3 and the complete Alan Moore Future Shocks and am interested in some more 2000 AD titles and trades to check out. There is such a vast library for this stuff, and I'm not really sure where to start. Do you have any recommendations on what is the best stuff to check out first?
go ahead, Jared. One that we've mentioned, we mentioned one last week.
Wait. And then he says, thanks, Sam, which seems preemptive since we haven't answered the question yet.
I was thinking, and then comma. Okay. Yeah. One we talked about last week, which we'll get back to, but one we talked about a few weeks before, Blackhawk, the Intergalactic Gladiator.
True. Nice.
Which
I haven't actually read that one yet.
Ran in 2008. I will just sum up again. As it started off as a historical Roman era African slave who gets recruited into the Legion's historical comic, who then gets kidnapped by aliens and made into a space gladiator about halfway through the run. That's amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Yep. Very 70s, but in the best way.
What about you, Nick?
Got Cradle Grave.
Oh, yeah.
Cradle Grave is a good one.
It's a really creepy horror comic.
That's a very new one. Ampney Crucius. We reviewed last week was very entertaining from the 2000 AD vaults.
There is a book that I would recommend called Missionary Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about a soldier who is knocked unconscious and wakes up in the future where humans have bred animals to be like anthropomorphic.
Like commanding.
Slaves.
Oh, nice.
And, and he basically starts a revolution to free all of them.
Nice.
And it's pretty epic and stupid, but in the best kind of way.
Yeah.
Hondo City.
Oh, Hondo City.
Yep, Hondo City is a good one.
That's a pretty awesome one.
Why don't you tell people what it is instead of just saying the title?
It's basically the Japanese Judge Dredd.
Huh? Yep.
Yep. And it's got stuff by Frank Quitely in it.
And so does Missionary Man, right?
Frank Quitely?
Didn't he draw most of Missionary Man?
No, Missionary Man's an old black and white thing.
What did he draw?
I feel like he drew a part of it.
I think he did.
Oh, Meltdown Man, sorry, is the name of the one that I'm talking about.
Yeah, Missionary
Meltdown Man.
Missionary Man's awesome, too, but it's not about what I said it was about. But Meltdown Man is the one I was talking about.
Yeah. Then Slain is another one that's a very well-researched into the myth of Arthur sort of thing, where there's this guy who berserks out and has a giant axe and fights lights of stuff back in the old Britain. It's pretty
old,
awesome.
Old Britain.
And then there's Superman.
Superman.
From 2000 AD.
What?
Oh, wait, I'm getting mixed up here. He's from Krypton.
Oh.
Is.
All right. Is that it? You guys got any other ones?
Probably.
If I thought about it, but I don't know.
A couple of other Alan Moore ones. What's the one he said he read?
He said he read Judge Dredd Complete Case Files and Alan Moore Future Shocks.
He also did DR and Quench, which is a weird, wacky aliens one, which is definitely not Alan Moore's best.
It's not good.
Really?
You think it's good?
Eh, We're checking out.
Jared says, eh. So definitely check it out. Whatever. All right. So then I have a question.
Oh.
My question is this the worst podcast we've ever done?
Nah, not yet.
Not yet? I think it's...
Give us time.
Once we get to these books we're reviewing, which is like a weird bunch of books this week.
It is.
But we do have another question.
Okay.
This is from Nate Carlos.
All right, Nate.
Who is... he was an erstwhile question asker, and now...
Back to the fold.
He's back in the fold. He says, this is a question for the best podcast ever.
Oh.
So I think he sent it to the wrong...
He's redeemed us.
I think he sent it to the wrong place. But he says, lately, I've been all about covers.
Like cover bands?
No, not like cover bands. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. He likes covers of books, comic books.
Books, oh.
He says,
like
I will...
my adaptation of Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. So he says he'll pick up a book solely for the cover, like this week's Ralph Wiggum, because he just sent this question today. Mm-hmm. And an ugly cover, he thinks the ultimate covers are not very good right now, which I could agree with.
I disagree.
He also is not a fan of Cary Andrews, which I like Cary Andrews, but...
Yeah. His covers have been a little wonky lately, but...
They have been a little bit.
But his art, when he does, like, comics, is great.
But he says that an ugly cover doesn't do a comic any favors. Can you name some of your favorite or least favorite covers? I love the Uncanny X-Force with War in the Moon. That's a very cool cover.
That was a good one.
And my favorite is the Gotham City Sirens one with the crossword puzzle. Can't remember the issue, but it was pretty early on with Edward Nygma.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the issue either, but I remember that cover.
It was pretty cool.
Cool. Well, so what do you guys think? What are some of your favorite covers?
I just want to counter the point. I think the cover of Ultimate Spider-Man with... when he's like crawling down the wall and pulling the mask off is awesome.
Yeah, I think
the other ones are not good. He's right.
I don't think he means the illustrations in particular, but all the Ultimate covers have those like
same designs,
black bars on the side, and they're just kind of. I don't know.
I was actually going to say the old Ultimate covers are even worse. Those were the worst.
Yeah. Where they had like red bars or blue bars on the side.
Yeah, and they were like really terrible, like CGI. Like, yep. Oh, God, those were the worst. Those are definitely the worst.
you think those are the worst?
Yeah.
Oh, really.
Well, let's start with
almost every cover of Ultimate Spider-Man was just like Spider-Man swinging through the air and never had anything else on it.
Yeah, nothing to do with the story.
Well, it did come out every three days.
Or something. Yeah.
There were like 175 issues one year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I could see. Yeah, those Ultimate covers weren't so great. They were kind of, it wasn't like CGI, but it was like super Photoshop-y painted. Yeah. I don't know. Well, what are some covers that you guys really like?
Some of the best ones ever were the Planetary series that John Cassaday drew, because they were both amazing art by Cassaday, but also like kind of breaking the mold for what you expect from a comic book cover. So there's like one where it's just like a hill covered with gravestones, and like you couldn't even find the title of Planetary on it sometimes, which was terrible if you're trying to sell a book, but amazing is like layout and design and different.
One of my favorite covers, and this is a book I've probably mentioned a bunch of times on here, though, Fantastic Four number 51, This Man, This Monster, just has a really great cover of Ben Grimm, like, doing a classic, like, why pose, yeah. But it's...
A lot of the old Kirby ones just are dynamic in a way that no one does anymore.
This is a group of covers that I really like, but when, I want to say it was Dark Horse, was putting out Lone Wolf and Cub in issues, and Frank Miller was drawing the covers to the issues.
It was First Comics. The
First Comics. Yep. Those were always really awesome.
Yeah. Also, more recently, I'd say Fables has always had
especially the James Jean one.
Particular, I think it's, is it Fables number 4 or 6, the one where it's like... Rose Red and the Tiger on the cover. That's a really, really good cover.
Yeah, I think I made it to a poster. That's awesome.
Any particular ones that stink? I can think of at least one for me, which is there's an issue
Hawk
of...
and Dove. All of them.
Mine is a Rob Liefeld one. there's a cover of Onslaught Reborn.
Oh, dear.
That basically... Rob Liefeld's very famous for not being able to draw feet. And this cover has the globe, the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And there are characters all the way around it, like standing behind it from the ankle up. So it's just like 50 characters all with no feet,
all angled nice. To fit and their feet behind the globe,
and it's hilarious. Speaking of the only thing that could make it worse, if you were able to see their feet.
Speaking of Rob Liefeld, I definitely got one of those too. It was another Heroes Reborn one. Jeez. The Captain America cover.
Oh, the one where he has boobs.
Yeah, no, he's got like a giant weird chest.
Yeah,
he's got a boobs. Chest that comes out like. It comes out like 2 feet past his chin.
Yeah.
And goes straight down like past his like.
Yeah, it looks like he has.
Crotch. This is really weird looking.
He looks like a female American gladiator.
Yeah. Oh. It's weird. He looks like a box with like a head. It's really bad.
Some other ones that are really good are the criminal books. Not all of them, but some, most are good and some are great.
No, those have issues. Great covers.
Yeah, they have good covers. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
There's some good stuff out there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. But I don't disagree with that.
But no, definitely a lot of covers that just are not designed very well.
Most of the Vertigo titles seem to have really good covers.
Yeah.
Scalped has great covers. iZombie always has really good covers. Yeah. That stuff's
cool. Cool. Well, that's a lot of covers. He has a little thing in here as well. He sent a picture along with this. So speaking of covers, and he sent a picture of all the covers to, oh, now I can't remember. What was the name of that Mark Miller thing about Aunt May and Uncle Ben, like having sex when they're in
trouble?
Yeah,
trouble.
All the photo covers of
God,
Trouble.
Those were so bad.
So he says that he feels like the biggest creep for simply owning these comics.
Yeah. I think Ian summed those up as like, this is proof of why you should hire professional actors to be in photographs as opposed to like your friends.
But he says, but it is by Mark Miller and the Dodsons is his excuse. I mean, the comics are...
Yeah, the comics are entertaining.
Yeah. But he says he feels like a creep for having them, but then like they're all like laid out on his bed. Like he took the picture. And maybe that's a little
is
bit...
Is he lying next
so it's
to
probably
them?
Creepier that he sleeps with them.
Yeah. Well, he sleeps on the floor.
He sleeps on the floor. His comics stay there. They're in like super, super mint condition.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for questions this week. Thanks for your question, Nate and Matt and Sam and Christian.
Yep.
Thanks.
So if you want to hear other questions, you should send us some new
You
ones.
Should send questions. Yeah, we love to get questions. If it was up to me, we would just answer questions for like 10 minutes and then the show would be over. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Are we done? Is that what
we're
you're
not done.
Oh.
We still have a bunch of reviews to do. So I do want to say, if you do have questions, just send them in to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com.
Or when you're on Facebook, just post them or send them on Twitter, whatever you got.
Or just ask us in person and we'll write them down with a pen.
Slip a note, little heart drawn on it to us. It'll be great.
Cool. All right, so you guys want to get into some reviews?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
We love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell.
I prefer important books like Louis Riel.
It's time for reviews.
All right, our first review is Batman Beyond Unlimited number 1. I know you guys are pretty excited about this comic.
Well, this was weird because it had two stories in it, and I really liked the first one, and then I finished it, and there's a second story. I was like, what the?
Yeah, so the first one's by Adam Beechin and Norm Brayfogle.
The Brayfogle-ness.
Yeah, well, he drew Batman for a long time in like the 80s, early 90s. And then the second one is... by Derek Friedhoffs and Dustin Nguyen, with art by Dustin Nguyen and Derek Friedhoffs as well.
Oh.
Or at least according to the DC webpage is what it says.
Oh, DC.
Yeah, well, Jared, you said you liked the first story. Why don't you give people a little breakdown of this Batman Beyond comic?
All right, so Batman Beyond is Batman in the future who is, what is like 50 years in the future, 30 years in the future?
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was like 50 years old.
No. Well, Batman is very old.
Yeah, it's retired. It's probably like 30, 40 years in the future because
so,
Bruce Wayne's still alive.
So. Yeah, so Bruce Wayne is old and is retired as Batman, and a kid that finds out about Batman and basically becomes the new Batman. And I have never seen an episode of the show.
Oh, really?
It's a cartoon show.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. I know. See, so I'm coming at this from the wrong angle. But this is, I don't know, for not having that much background, I've only read a couple of issues of thing. I thought it was a really good intro thing. I didn't like the second story as much because it was like involving the Justice League a lot more, and it just felt, I don't know, the tone shifted.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys like them equally? Or?
Well, Nick seemed to have the exact opposite reaction.
Yeah, I actually thought the first story was kind of boring.
Yeah.
I kind of actually skimmed through part of it because I was like so bored with it.
Fair enough. Then
I liked the second one just because I liked the weird, the Justice League was really bizarre. Like, the Green Lantern was, like, a giant baby. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the first story was that there's, like, a bunch of the Joker gang
guys
are showing up in Gotham and basically causing trouble. But they're coming from all over America together.
It was funny because it was, like, the beginning, it was, like, 100,000 Jokers prelude or whatever.
Yep.
But then at the end, it's, like, join us next issue for part one of, like, some other story. It was, like, not that story.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there were a couple weird things in this. Like in half of the book, they call the Justice League Beyond, and then in other parts, they call them Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah. There are two Justice Leagues.
Are there?
No.
Yeah.
Also, the art in the second one is really good.
Yeah. The art in that's great. I read both of these. I just thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It was like, I've watched all of Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
And I thought that this was pretty similar to the show, except the tone was just I don't know, not
nothing special about it.
Yeah, it was just wasn't in the right place. There wasn't much humor in it, really.
No,
and I don't know. It just didn't. It didn't really appeal to me. I will say Dustin Nguyen's art. Am I saying that right? I think that's right-ish.
Nguyen.
Dustin Nguyen.
Nguyen?
Yeah. Nguyen.
All right. Well, his art is really good.
Yep. It is. Awesome.
Yeah. And I think Breyfogle did a good job of emulating the TV show style as much as he can. I mean, it definitely looked a lot different than what his art usually looks like. So, I mean, it's fun, but it's there's not a lot there.
I'd give it a solid
I think that's fair.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, well, that's Batman Beyond Unlimited number one. All right, moving on. Like we said before, there's not a lot this week. So
it's a weird batch of books we're looking at.
That was it.
That was it. That's the only thing.
Thanks for coming.
It's kind of most of almost it. So first up is, or second up, is
first
this is Bride
up.
Story Volume 1, it says, hardcover, by Kaoru Mori.
This is a Topham Hayes recommendation from our College Park store, who's been pushing this on everybody up there. We finally all looked at it. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, did this actually come out a while ago?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But new to us, because none of us had read it yet. But yeah, this is obviously by a Japanese woman, but heavily researched about 19th century. Is that the time she said this is set in?
Is it really?
Yeah.
That guy with the glasses looks like he's from like 5 years ago. He looks like a character from Death Note.
Well, he probably is. But Central Asian steppes, like kind of the Mongolian, you know, where Genghis Khan would rampage around in Central Asian republics setting, which is very, I just thought, found fascinating. It's just something I've never seen done in comics before. And it's a 20-year-old woman who is married off to a 12-year-old guy from another village. And yet that is very old age for a girl to be married in that culture. Yeah. And she comes from the nomadic part of the society as opposed to the city-dwelling family that this boy is with. And then it's just them living together and trying to figure out, and great family drama. And
yeah, there's a lot of cool, like, you definitely could feel that it's research. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot about woodworking in it. There's a whole
hunting and
scene of and hunting and
rugs and
and so how they build their houses and stuff like that. Yeah, it was really cool. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, all that stuff really lends itself to the art as well. Like,
The art's really good.
The art's really intricate. I mean, it's got that kind of classic manga thing of having these really intricate backgrounds and like real world things with the cartoony-ish characters.
Right, but a lot of manga doesn't do those backgrounds anymore, which I think you have entire like shoujo drama stories where it's just like close ups of people's faces with like a few lines in the background.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely on the good detailed side of manga.
But the reason that really works in this is it's a lot about this guy who does all this woodworking. So it's like these intricate things of his carvings and stuff. And, you know, it'll be rugs that have these intricate patterns on them or the clothing that they make and stuff. So I thought all that stuff was really cool. I thought the story was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The love story didn't really ring too true to me, but overall,
I thought it worked because it's obviously the boy's very uncomfortable. He's just not mature enough to handle this relationship, and she's kind of going slow about it. But, you know, that's their society at the time. I thought it was interesting change on the typical story for that.
Yeah, I like that it's more like a friendship sort of.
Yeah.
There's never like anything like sexual going on. They're just kind of like hanging out.
There's one scene that's a little bit weird and sexual, but.
Well, it's not really sexual. They're naked, but there's no like nothing sexual going on. They're just like, she's like, oh, we have to be naked because to conserve our heat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's
like, it sounds better, really weird when you're talking about it right now.
It's kind of weird because it's like, I don't know. It's not a thing that's you know, it's kind of really weird. At back then, I'm sure it wasn't very weird.
But anyway, there's a
that little kid seemed to think it was pretty weird in this scene.
Yeah, he definitely was like he's like really uncomfortable about everything, which is cool. I mean, he seems pretty realistic.
Yeah,
I would be really.
Yeah, but the plot twist of all this is, of course, her family that allowed her to be married off to this young boy decides halfway through this book that they no longer want her to be married and want her to marry someone else.
So, yeah, because they want to
appease
another clan. And
yep.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying I thought it was bad or anything. There were just little things about it that I didn't like. I didn't like the way that part of the story resolved either. I thought it was a little strange.
But I don't think it's resolved.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Oh, it seemed like it just ended and they were gone.
There's a book two.
I didn't know there was a book two until I saw this. But no, it's cool. And the art's great. So.
Yeah, the art's really good.
That is Bride's Story. This is a weird week.
Yep.
All right, so up next is are a couple of books by Jack Teagle. We got a bunch of books from No Brow this week, which are
amazing.
Which is a British publisher. And they do these cool little screen printed things. The series has a name of these books. I think it's called 17 by 23.
Yeah, most of these are 17 by 23.
But I figure we start with these two Jack Teagle books, Fight number one and what's the other one called?
Jeff Job Hunter.
Yeah. Yep. So what'd you guys think of these?
Amazing. I've never seen him before. I'm sure he's been in some anthologies or something, but like his art is really cool.
Yeah, I like the art. It's like kind of simple and cartoony, but I don't know. It gets the point across. But Fight, I'd liked not quite as much. It's a little weird.
Yeah,
it's paced a little odd, but there's stuff I love about it. I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to explain. Both these books I felt were kind of missing a little something, but I still love them at the same time. I don't even know how to explain that. But anyway, Fight is just about a guy who's like the villain in like a wrestling league
because he looks
like a demon. Yeah. And he like wants to change that. And he's like, why can't I be the good guy? And it's about him dealing with that. And then Jeff Job Hunter is about a guy who's working at this place, like a temp agency. And they're like, he's like, I need a new job. And they're like, well, here, go kill this minotaur in this cave with this sword.
Yeah. It's like being unemployed and being sent on not just some crappy temp job, but to go fight like a heroic hero from the old times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both the stories are short and really simple, but the art is really fun. It kind of reminds me of like something like Ugly Americans in a way.
Yeah, definitely Jeff Job Hunter.
Yeah, because it's that mixture of like the mundane with the fantastical. But I think part of the reason why Fight doesn't work quite as well for me is that the color in all of these Nobrow books is really
so
fantastic it's all screen printed and Fight's in black and white.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's much cheaper than these. I mean, these are expensive because they're such nicely done books. Fight is very cheap, and it's also that it's the beginning of a story rather than a standalone like the rest of these, so you definitely get to the end, you're like, I need more.
I think it is a standalone, though. It's just kind of like a fake cliffhanger.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I don't feel like there's probably ever going to be another issue. That was like one of the first ones that came out, so.
Because there's a fake preview for like a second issue on the next page.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it says to be continued. I want to know what happens.
You'll never find out.
You can write it in your imagination.
It'll be lame.
All right, so we got a bunch of other books. Let's see what else is on here. Next up, we have Hilda Folk by Luke Pearson. This was probably one of my favorite books from the bunch, art-wise.
Yeah, it's about like a little girl who likes to kind of fancy herself an adventure.
Yep.
And,
an explorer.
And she wants to go out into the world and see what's out there. Except every time she opens the door, this little wooden guy comes in and sleeps on her floor.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's
definitely a world of monsters out there.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely lives in kind of a fantasy world, but her life seems pretty average. Like, average, like, girl from our world, like, going to school and hanging out. But she's like, I want to go camping, and there's, like, weird trolls and monsters outside.
And she's got a weird little fox monster pet, and, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the book that we talked about last week, the Emily Carroll story that was in the Flight Explorers book.
Yeah.
Just because it's, like, about a girl that lives, like, in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, kind of has these weird adventures. But the whole, the tone of the book is great, and the art is, I don't know, it's really cartoony, but it just works really well. I mean, it's not really a kid's book. I guess it's kind of a kid's book.
It's definitely a kid's book.
Yeah, there's nothing like bad in it. No. It's just, you know, it's just a fun little thing. Like most of these Nobrow books, the stories read really fast, but they're always, I feel like, pretty well told. And
this one, I feel like, had, for like you're talking about how good the coloring on this is, I feel like this one took some of the best advantage of the coloring. Like it's like you said, cartoony, but there's enough like parts to the cartoony and like details and stuff that he can really use a lot of different colors, and it just pops. It looks so bright and cool looking.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like the colors.
Well, speaking of that, the next one is Ouroboros by Ben Newman.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very colorful book. This is a silent comic.
So many colors.
About, well, what is this about?
The cycle of life.
Yeah, and fighting monsters and stuff.
Yeah. It's karma. About a guy who's got rabbit ears on his head and a mermaid that gets shot by apes.
I believe those are aliens, actually.
They're alien apes.
Apians. Laser guns and, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're alien apes.
They're apians.
And rebirth and torture and escaping. And it's weird stuff.
Yeah, it's got a really like paper cutout kind of style, similar to maybe like production art you'd see on like old Disney films or like Pixar movies. Yeah.
The action stuff kind of reminds me a little bit of Samurai Jack as well. It's got that weird kind of long, drawn out fight scenes with like crazy things happening and people screaming and tearing off their shirts and stuff.
Yeah, if there's one thing I've discovered after doing this podcast for a really long time is that it can be really hard to describe
pictures.
Silent art comics.
Yeah.
And really get across what makes them good and what doesn't. Because Ouroboros is great, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the art was maybe just slightly not as good, it wouldn't work. So it's really hard to get across like what is good about it. But it is awesome.
It is rad.
You're better at it than I am. I'm like, picture good.
Colors.
I like the colors.
So coming up next is one that Nick and I probably disagreed about a little bit.
Which one?
This is a Temporama by Clayton Jr.
Oh, well, who's disagreeing, pro or con? Or
well, I really liked it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Nick did not like it.
I'm teaming up
all.
With Nick on
I
this
didn't,
one.
I did not like it. I just thought I it was the worst like of the bunch.
Yeah.
But I think the main problem with it is that I like the coloring a lot, and I like a lot of the choices, but at some points it's just a little too dark and, like, muddy. Like, I couldn't... it took me, like, a long time to figure out what was going on in the panel. I was like... Like, there's a few where it's great. Like, there's one where he's, like, opening a... Well, basically, this is about, like, a guy who... Oh, God, I don't even know what this is about. It's about a guy who, it's at like the beginning, is, like, and... in a lab, and then he hears these crazy sounds, and he's tired of all this power stuff.
This is another silent one.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a silent comic. Basically, it's about... Like, it's like a society that's like run by electricity, and all the rich people have electricity or whatever.
Wow, you got a lot more out of that.
And so he's like this scientist, and he's trying to destroy this power plant because everybody's like enslaved by technology.
Yeah, wow. And he frees like all these animals from the zoo.
And he like frees all these animals from the zoo, and then he destroys this power plant to kind of free all the people from being enslaved by like the media and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think you got most of that from the description.
I got part of that from the description in the beginning, and then I thought a lot of that came out in the. Because you were like, why are all these people's feet tied? And I'm like, well, it's kind of a metaphor for them being trapped and stuff. But I actually really like the pacing in this. It reminded me, there was something about the style and the pacing of it that reminded me a lot of like Franz Kafka books, like The Trial or like some other like old silent Fritz Lang movies and stuff like M or Metropolis. I enjoyed it. I can see what you're saying about the art being a little muddy from time to time.
Yeah, my problem with this is like what Nick said, the coloring, like he does the screen printing process, but it does like that kind of thing where like you'll layer colors over each other. So it's slightly like blurred or like you'll have an extra color on the edges between parts of the picture. And like Nick said, when there's one where he's opening up a refrigerator and you've got a very bright, vibrant section, you can have that kind of like, overlaid, like, I don't even know, like modernist art thing where the colors are slightly off on purpose from where they're supposed to fit in the borders of a drawing. But then there's a lot of panels, like you said, so much of it's dealing with like light. There's a lot of panels where it's a very dark panel, and it felt to me like he was wasting the opportunity to use these beautiful print processes that Nobrow's using so much, that you could definitely have told the story using a brighter night, as it were, to show your things. I mean, if that's the point he's trying to show, but just for me, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that. I feel like the end product art-wise was him achieving probably what he wanted to.
Sure.
I think also the art style, I mean, I could see not liking it, but I think it's also something that you can only do with screen printing.
Right.
And I think because of that, like, he does take advantage of the format.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's me. It's all subjective too. It's just
true.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's also not a thing that I would recommend to a lot of people. But there are just certain people that I would recommend.
Yeah,
also.
It's a little heavy handed.
Yeah. Some of it can be. But also
the end doesn't make any sense. But
I'm not going to look at it and try to figure it out right now.
Try and explain it later.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's not like every other comic that comes out, and that makes it pretty interesting. All right, let's move on to one that I'm pretty sure we will all agree on. This is Obsolete Number One.
So amazing.
By Mikel Somer.
This was the best one. But
Yeah, I think it was the best one as well.
Yeah. Takes you about 1 minute to read it, but it's got so much in it, like in just this short amount of time.
Yeah, I reread it, and I got even more out of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's about this guy who's like a war veteran.
Not silent, right?
It's got some dialogue. He's a war veteran. He's come back and he's got some stress and some money problems, and he decides to rob a bank, and some crazy stuff ensues.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to talk too much about it.
Yeah, you don't
want really
to spoil
short.
Too much. Yeah.
Even saying that he decides to rob a bank is kind of saying a lot. But yeah,
this like they said, this does have some dialogue in it, but it's not one of those silent comics that's on purpose. This is just a lot of silence in it because so much of it is tone and the emotion and the thoughts and the expression on this guy's face and the background and the juxtaposition of panels from page to page, showing an early scene of him off fighting in Afghanistan or whatever, then doing the exact same setup of a panel to show where he is now and how his life's changed and stuff. It's amazing.
And also
it's a really clever story.
It adds to his kind of detachment from society when there's no actual interactions with anything. There's no talking.
That's a good point.
He's just staring at stuff.
Yeah, it's the whole book has that sort of tone. I don't know if you guys saw The Hurt Locker, but there's a scene where he's in a grocery store.
Yeah,
and it kind of reminded me of that. Yeah. The whole book is really, really depressing.
It is really depressing.
But the art is great. It's really, really beautiful and fantastic. And
I wouldn't say the beginning's depressing. There's moments of horror more than depression in some ways. You can see how damaged he is, but it's also such beauty in the backgrounds and the scenes and stuff that it carries you through to this, admittedly depressing story. But
yeah, the end is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's definitely worth reading. Good. Of all the books, I would recommend this one to the most people, I feel like.
Yeah, this is the most easily accessible.
I don't know. I thought Hilda Folk was also amazing, but those are my two favorites.
Yeah, but I feel like Obsolete is something that if you read
alone.
Criminal or Scalped or something, you'd be interested in it, where maybe Hilda Folk would be more for people that more cutesy stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would even recommend Obsolete to people that like cutesy stuff, as long as they're not little kids or something, because it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do we have on here? All right, let's move off of the No Brow books. There were a bunch of cool ones that came out, but let's talk about Ralph Wiggum Comics number one.
All right.
Yeah.
Flipping the No Brow on its head.
Indeed. So this was Bongo, the people that do the Simpsons comics, are doing a series of one-shots about different characters. They're doing a Milhouse one, this Ralph Wiggum one. This is the first one, and it's just all Ralph Wiggum. I'm sure everybody knows who Ralph Wiggum is, but he's the son of Chief Wiggum, and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But kind of an idiot savant, because he's an idiot, hilarious savant.
Yeah, he's mostly just an idiot.
but an idiot who has hilarity happen.
Yeah, and this has a bunch of good people in it. It's got a story by Sergio Aragonés, a story by Carol Lay, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, it's really funny stuff.
Yeah, it's really hilarious. The first story especially is just about Ralph deciding to make breakfast for himself because he's home alone, and he's just He makes coffee by putting all the ingredients in a coffee machine, milk and cream and coffee and water all in the coffee.
All together all at once.
And then he cooks it by putting it in the oven. And then, it's just kind of that kind of really stupid
thing. Yeah, he makes waffles in the toaster in a very similar way.
Yeah.
With
it's just
eggs and milk.
I can see how this is the most fun character ever to write about, just because every bit of ridiculous id that you'd have some character make a horrible decision, and that's what happens with Ralph, and it works so well.
And he just says nonsense.
Yeah.
And the art in the first story is really funny too. I don't actually know the artist, but it's got almost a Johnny Ryan feel to it.
Yeah.
Who's the artist? You got it right there, don't you?
It's Mike Casale.
Well, good job, Mike Casale, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, I think the art in this made it even funnier.
Yeah, definitely. And then, the other stories, there are a couple one-page things by Sergio Aragonés, which is always welcome.
Yep.
And then a couple other things that kind of...
They're in the traditional Simpsons
stuff. More in the traditional Simpsons stuff, but that works too. I mean, there's a reason why The Simpsons has been on the air for 38 years or whatever.
But Ralph runs around the city and ends up doing a newscast.
And the newscast is so funny.
It's really funny.
He just kind of comments on things that appear on the screen. He's like, spinning clouds make me dizzy.
He's so good.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd say if you ever liked The Simpsons.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is one of the best ones they've ever done.
Yeah, this is probably the best Simpsons thing I've read since the
really good Treehouse of Horror ones.
Yeah, the ones from a couple years ago that were edited by Sammy Harkham, which were great. When those came out, I was like, oh, there's a Treehouse of Horror out that's edited by the same guy that edits Kramer's Ergo.
It's really weird.
Yeah, which was really weird,
that
but amazing.
Time, yeah.
But so definitely I'd say just check out Ralph Wiggum. It's really, really funny.
Oh, and there's a Malicious Leprechaun. That's another story.
Yep.
It's true. It is the Malicious Leprechaun that appears in The Simpsons from time to time.
Yep.
Simpsons have so many weird characters.
I mean, it's been around for
38 years.
Yeah, yeah.
35 years.
38 years yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
Since the 1920s.
Since the 1920s, 30 years ago, Genghis Khan invented it.
Yeah.
In the 1920s, when he was the leader of Al Capone's gang. So moving on to what should we talk about here?
What you got?
I think we only have two things left.
Okay.
What do we got? What are they?
Let's go with Questionable Content Volume 1 by Jeff Jacques.
All right. Speaking of Canadian names.
Yeah, speaking of Canadians.
Damn Canadian.
Yeah, so this is a collection of the extremely popular webcomic.
He's one of the guys who ruled the internet.
What is he on? Like strip number 2700 now?
Something like that. At least over 2000.
This is definitely a collection of the early days, and I would say that it shows.
Yeah, this originally came, he published these online. He does about, his current schedule is one every day of the work week, so Monday through Friday he does a new strip. And these were in 2003, and so he's been doing this for 8 years. And as is shown in his 9 years?
Nine years.
He started late 2003, I don't know. Anyway, 8-ish years. He lost some of the art or didn't have like good enough quality art for some of the original ones, so he redrew the strips in his current style. And while that is a good way to fill in the blank stories, I think contrasting the old with the new is a disaster, because you're like, wow, you get much, much better later on, and it makes these early ones look even worse.
I like how you said you didn't have high quality versions of his art.
Yeah, yeah.
None of it is high quality.
True.
Yeah, the art
high
in this,
resolution.
The art in this is definitely very, very rough. You can tell it looks like somebody decided
like
to
art.
Start drawing and decided to start doing a webcomic on the same day.
Well, one of his jokes is like, I have a music degree or whatever it is. I wish I'd taken an art class instead. And you're like, fair point.
Yeah.
So the art can be distracting from the main story, which is very much a will they, won't they story about a girl and a guy that are friends and live together. And some of the stuff's really fun. I mean, he's good at writing sort of soap opera-y stuff. I think I read about 150 strips out of this, which is probably more than you should read of something like this in a day.
Yeah.
But
well, I'll do the flip side of this. I discovered Questionable Content maybe like 3 or 4 months ago, and I read all 2,000 plus strips in like 3 weeks. It explains a lot. Yeah. It does start off as this very simple story of this guy and this girl who meet and, of course, become roommates, and then all the terrible tension between them. But he very quickly expands it out into a huge cast of characters and a lot of friends and more. It becomes a huge soap opera on many different characters and many levels, and it's very compelling. The story is definitely, as we said, the strong part of this. The art gets better. I'll say that. I think the new stuff is pretty good. Not great, but
it's better
good.
Now. I mean, I'm still not a fan of it, but I can, you can, the difference is remarkable
between
the way the new stuff looks and the way the old stuff looks.
If you draw every day for 9 years, you'll get
it's
better.
Like the first few were drawn in like Mario Paint.
Yes.
And then the rest were drawn like on a Mac.
But you get that a lot with webcomics too. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the early, say like Penny Arcade strips, they're really rough. Yeah. You know, it's just a thing that happens. There's something about webcomics that like, there's a certain sense of humor about webcomics and a certain style of drawing with webcomics.
They're kind of punk rock in a lot of ways. It's like most of these people haven't, I don't think, grew up reading comic books in a lot of ways. They grew up reading online comic strips.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like, just draw something.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. They're not as like cool as punk rock or something.
I didn't say they're cool punk rockers, but that's the punk rock.
Yeah, but
just do it, you know?
And also, I don't know, there's like a certain, just the style of comics, I feel like is similar across the board a lot of the time.
For a lot of them, yeah.
Especially the stuff like this and like Starship Crisis.
Yeah, the 3-4 panel gag strip.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I feel like this is fairly successful with the humor. Nick, did you read more than like 5 strips out of this?
Nah, I just couldn't get past the art.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that.
It gets much better.
Yeah.
But... Yeah,
I'm curious about the story getting better later on as well. I mean, it gets a little repetitive early on.
Like, having read so much of it, there's definitely like evolution of story, which is also a thing that is rare in a lot of comic books, especially superhero ones. So it's nice to see things happen. And he does have an extra weird twist that there's a little like robot that lives at his apartment. And later on, you find out there's like orbital space stations. There's like a weird extra sci-fi tinge to an otherwise extremely normal modern world.
There's definitely a robot in this.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's like total stupid. Comic relief.
Yes.
Sorry, I just said he's stupid. No, he's fine.
Yeah.
Nick does not care about this guy. Yeah, so listen to Jared.
Yep.
Because
if you like the internet, yeah, here's a comic for you.
If you like the internet. What, one thing that's really funny about this is like how dated even references from 2003 are.
Yeah.
They're like, true, hey, let's play some CDs.
Yep.
I'm like, even iPods are old now.
That's true.
Like, people, nobody has iPods anymore. Yeah. Yeah. The olden days when people had iPods.
It's true.
All right. So that is questionable content. We just have one more thing for this week. This was a very small week.
Yeah. And this is like us picking stuff that came out months ago or.
Yeah. I mean, the first questionable content came out like a year ago and Bride's story is old. And yeah. So
we're trying, folks.
Five Wednesday months probably aren't going to be happening anymore. But so the last one is also not a new thing, but this is Sybil the Backpack Fairy, Volume 1, Nina hardcover by Michelle Rodrigue, Manuela Rossi, and Antonello Delena.
Yep.
Jeez. So these are all people who worked on Disney Italia comics. They did a bunch of Donald Duck stuff.
Explains it.
And the art style is very much like what you see in the Italian Disney comics, or like what you see in things like Sky Doll,
yeah,
or Witch, which is the children's comic by the people that do Sky Doll.
Yeah.
It's got a really cartoony style.
It's very European, if anyone if you know European comics, you know what I mean by that. But it's also got the slight manga influence, like a lot of modern European comics, yeah, where the characters are kind of like bigger eyed and cuter, and but still that very craftsman like attention detail and very well done, you know, poses and clothes and outfits and everything.
Yeah, so I'd say it's very comparable to the book we talked about a couple weeks ago, Dance Class.
Yeah.
Which is actually why we ordered this, because it's put out by the same company, and we thought that was a pretty good book for kids. And it turns out I think this is a pretty good book for kids, too.
I agree. So this is Sybil is the actual fairy. I can't remember half these characters' names.
Yeah,
and Nina's the girl.
Yeah.
All right, so Nina's a girl, typical girl at school, and the weird setup to this is that a backpack fairy is assigned to live in her backpack and help her do her schoolwork by waving her hand and doing schoolwork. Like the story itself is just a weird setup. It's like, I can, hopefully it's going to be the sort of thing that like she'll have to do a test on her own and won't have this fairy to do her. Cause it's not like the fairy is helping her do her homework. The fairy is doing her homework. And then so the fairy's got like a weird little monster assistant.
Nobody wants a homework fairy that helps you do your homework.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying it's like, for this being a kid's comic, it's like,
yeah,
it's not like it's helping her learn to be a better person or be a better student. It's just like someone's solving your problems for you. You don't have to worry about them.
Sure. But not every kid's comic needs to have a moral either, she's right? Also, it can be like, you know, a kid's fantasy would be to have a fairy that does their homework for them.
She's also got like a...
There are troubles.
There's a lot of mysteries. And
yeah, true.
She's the fairy's got a greater purpose than what's hinted at.
And things certainly go haywire.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The fairy almost always gets her in trouble, like more than helping her.
That's true.
And so that could be one of the moral things, you know? Like, I mean, everything she's like, oh, this fairy will make my life better, but everything that she does makes her life worse.
So. Instead, we'll summon Ramses the II to rampage around your neighborhood.
Yeah.
That is definitely a thing that happens in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that whole sort of crazy haywire thing is, I think, where the comic gets really,
really fun.
Yeah. So there's that main story. Then there's a second story in here that's, like, told from the
one at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's told from the fairy's point of view, kind of, and I thought that was kind of fun too. It's just a cute little book for kids.
I don't know. It had some interesting bits, like the fact that her mom's a single mom, and is it trying to date a guy who Nina doesn't like, and there's all this crazy stuff going on, and the guy's kind of like, why am I putting up with this insanity?
Yeah.
It's an interesting mix of stories in here. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to more volumes. I really like the art. The
art's so good. Yeah.
And I didn't like completely love it. I don't know why. It was just a little.
The translation's a little clunky. I mean, yeah. I know we mentioned that a lot, but that's a thing that happens
yes,
a lot.
We do. And it does.
But it's pretty cool, and there's a cool twist at the end that'll lead to more hilarity in the upcoming volumes.
More hilarity, please.
More hilarity will definitely ensue. That's always a good thing. Yeah, there was one particular line in here that just really stood out for me. I'm going to see if I can find this real quick.
There's one that cracked me up. So
it was... Oh, I'm probably not going to be able to find it.
With the boyfriend? No.
No.
That was a good line when he's driving away.
This was a poorly translated line that I saw. Okay, so here we go. So Nina's talking to her friend, and her friend says, "You know, Nina, you must be stressed out. Your parents got separated during summer vacation. Maybe you're distracted." Like, what? Who talks like that? And then Nina says, "Yeah, I don't know."
Like, what? That is what kids say.
I'm like, yeah. What kind of conversation is this?
That's pretty amazing.
It is not a way that humans talk to each other.
And it's like he's trying to like convey that information somehow, but not in a very, very clear way. I mean, it's a clear
way. It's like a way too clear way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a very explicit way.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just a little nitpick. I mean, all things aside, this is it's really fun, and it's the art's great. The way they draw like expressions on faces, and everybody's exasperated all the time for good reason. No, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, that's it for this week. This ramshackle podcast that we had this week.
It's funny. This is like the smallest amount of stuff we've had to review, but I think this has been our longest. How long is this?
It seems long. It's only been an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like it's been like 3 hours.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a long time. So if this was as bad as I thought it was this week, I want to apologize.
Nah, this
no, it's fine. I don't really want to apologize.
You should send us more emails telling us how great we are.
You should. I just wanted to mention that Nate Carlos said we're the best podcast ever, so whatever.
What?
We win one internet.
All right. See you guys on Saturday for some burgers. Right?
Yeah. Hopefully we will. So see you guys then.
All right. See you.
Later.